Welcome back to Sharpen the Iron Podcast, where it is my job to share with you tools, lessons, inspiration, and ideas to help you sharpen your iron mind, empowering you to go out and walk with God day by day to maximize your life. Today we are talking about when your beliefs are questioned. Your beliefs being questioned is something we have all experienced. These moments tend to lead to times of psychological discomfort, a micro sense of despair, feeling upset or potentially even hatred towards the person who revealed to us the leak in our ship, the crack in our foundation, the hole in our thinking slash beliefs. Oftentimes, what the other person reveals to you is something within your belief system that you may have never had to deal with, so you've not thought very deeply about it. And there is a double-edged sword to this experience, and it can lead us in two different directions. Proverbs 9:8 says, "So don't bother correcting mockers, they will only hate you, but correct the wise, and they will love you." So there are two ways we can respond to the questioning of our beliefs. And oftentimes, in my experience, the questioning or the correction starts with hatred, a sense of hate. I don't like the hatred is too extreme, but just the sense of hate towards the one who called me out for something. But eventually, it truly does lead to learning. And we're kind of going to go through that. So we have heard in the Bible also, it is written that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God. And Ernest Becker said something similar. Man does not live on bread alone, but on self-esteem. And I believe these two ideas dovetail each other. Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock." And he does not obviously mean this literally, but he is alluding to a foundation found within. The rock is our belief system, our belief in Jesus Christ. Our belief system is what gives us life, not bread alone. And this belief system plays a role in our self-esteem function, going back to what Ernest Becker said. It gives us an identity, a sense of self. It helps us see the world. It is literally what we have built ourselves upon. It helps us fit into groups. It is what helps us work together with other people. I mean, it literally gives us an identity. It gives us life. And going back to the last episode, talking about naming, when we name what we believe, we are, or when we find ourselves part of a group that believes certain things, it gives us a sense of an identity, which that ties in with the whole naming thing, identity and naming. So to have someone or have your belief system questioned, someone to point out the leak in your foundation, it's a threat to you, right? It's a gut punch. And I've literally experienced this. When someone calls out something I hadn't thought about or calls me out for something, I can feel it within my gut. It's a micro death in a sense, because it reveals maybe where you're standing on some shaky ground. It's maybe reveals where you've built some of your house, some of your foundation or your kingdom upon the sand, as Jesus says later in that verse. And what we will see throughout most of history and even in our own lives is that humans will do anything to defend and protect their belief system. Most of the wars in human history are fought in the name of God. So I want to talk about life clings to life, because life is all that life knows. People and animals will fight and cling and claw to survive until their last dying breath, because we live what we've learned, right? You cling to what you know, and all you know is life, right? Death is at the root of every fear. At the very bottom is death, because life is all we know. You do this literally. Like, your body does everything it can to try to fight to survive. If you see like an animal that's been pierced by an arrow, that animal will keep fighting and fighting and fighting until it literally is dead. And the same thing happens with our beliefs. They are, again, what sustain us. We do not live on bread alone. They're what you know. They're the familiar. They're the status quo in a sense. And once you have that, once you've formed that foundation in whatever belief you found yourself in, and whatever you believe, you will do anything to protect it from others, to protect it from whatever you may see as an invasion upon what you believe. You know, you could think of your belief system like a little mini kingdom that needs to be defended. And any threat to it means death to someone else. Like, you are willing to do anything you can to protect anything from getting within. And ego plays a big role in this as well, because any threat to the ego means an enemy. Our egos will make devils out of the people who we feel fear towards or uncomfortable around, right? If someone calls us out for something, a flaw or hole in our belief system, our ego wants to maintain the status quo. It doesn't want to look into the darkness. There's some cognitive dissonance potentially happening where you hear something, you know, you know damn well smoking cigarettes is not good for you, but you keep smoking cigarettes. Your ego wants to keep doing what is easy, what is comfortable. It wants to maintain the status quo. It wants to maintain the current order of the little kingdom, the little belief system. And so if someone calls you out, you're not even going to acknowledge it. You don't even want to look at it. And we perceive those people who may call us out for things as threats. I mean, that's just how we respond to them. And so we will do anything to defend that, because to look into that dark corner, to acknowledge the dissonance, we don't want to look at it. We want to maintain internal homeostasis, in a sense, psychological homeostasis. We want to continue to do what we're doing because that's much easier. So we're not going to look at the thing that calls us out for our BS. And I think as well, the ego deal, it ties in with the idea of scapegoats. So the ego will project, the problem onto other people, things, or reasons. You know, it's anything but myself. You know, it's someone else. And you can see this happens in modern, it's happening in the world right now, but you can see this happening in Nazi Germany. You know, Hitler made the Jews out to be the problem, and they became Germany's scapegoat. The German people did not want to look within and say, you know, what could we do differently? Where's the flaw, the crack in our foundation? Because that's a very difficult thing to do, to look within. It is much easier to cast the blame and project it onto others. If you begin as well to believe that the Jews are actually the problem, well, then you may take the belief to the furthest extent. It's exactly what you're going to do. And that may lead to a Holocaust. And the justification of that Holocaust, of the killing of millions of people, is because they believed it. They were just, and part of that is, I guess, following orders. But they believed the orders that they were following were correct, that they believed that this is what needs to be done. They truly believed it. You know, and you can, you know, people who have gone mentally insane, say, and they steal something, they truly believe what they stole was theirs. You know, they believe that. And so sometimes it's very hard, especially in a court of law, to prove otherwise, that what that person stole was not actually, that what they did was wrong, because they truly believed what they did, what they stole, was theirs. And so this kind of ties to the idea of, you do not possess ideas. You know, you do not possess belief systems. Belief systems, beliefs, they possess you. The spirit of that belief is planted within you. It grows and can overtake the whole garden of your heart. It possesses you. Obviously, and you can see this, you can see this, and I like the idea of just thinking of little subcultures. So like running, you know, there's the culture itself, the whole culture, but then there's all these little subcultures and all these little niche communities. You can think of running, or an example, or just bikers in general, the biker. The spirit of the biker, when you start to surround yourself with other bikers, get more into biking, the spirit of the biker possesses you. You know, unconsciously, you may find yourself buying things, leather jackets, or wearing a bandana more often. You start to embody more and give yourself more to the spirit of the biker, because that spirit is what possesses you. You can see this with running. You can see this, you know, you start to do more of what other people in that little community are doing. And obviously, this is a double-edged sword, belief systems are. Because beliefs can be a positive thing or they can cause great damage. And I'm saying kind of all this to lay the foundation of the fact that our belief systems truly are everything. They quite literally give us life. They sustain us through the darkness, through the hard times. Beliefs are more life-giving and real in a sense than food and water is. Going back to man does not live on bread alone. And then going back to the proverb as well, what I want to bring up is that we have two ways to respond to the people who reveal a crack in our foundation. When someone calls me out for something, it truly does, for me personally, it starts with a kind of a little sense of despair. I feel flustered, almost as if I'd fallen into a little trap. I feel frustration towards the person who called me out. And I try and do what I can to degrade them as a person, but this happens in a very implicit manner. It's not like I'm saying, man, I hate this person, they're a piece of crap. It's like, no, not at all. It's like, this, you know, I'll think to myself, you called me out for this, but you're really not all that either. You know, I tell myself, it's just little ways to try to justify or try to do mental gymnastics to avoid looking at the thing the person called me out for. However, as time goes on, and this may be hours, you know, if someone calls me out for something, it tends to really be on my mind until I work at it till I get it fixed. Like I want to fix the problem. I see that there's a crack. I don't want to avoid it anymore. I want to get it taken care of. And this may be hours or days or even longer, as you're kind of thinking through things. But the more you begin to think thoroughly through the criticism, the word criticism, I say that for lack of a better word, but the more you think through it, you begin, you know, to search deeper than you would have if someone wouldn't have called you out. And because of that, hopefully as a consequence, you grow in understanding, which helps you grow as an individual in humility, and you are able to build back your foundation, fix the crack with a stronger patch. And I said right in the beginning that sometimes the reason that these people, if someone calls you out for something, it may catch you off guard, is simply just because you never thought through it very deeply. And that's okay. And what can happen too is one of my history teachers, my senior year, said the smartest thing a person can say is, I don't know. And that's the thing that I struggle with is you can immediately, someone can call you out for something and you can try to defend yourself at all costs, defend your mini little kingdom, or you can just acknowledge, man, like what I thought is not sufficient. I truly don't know. I need to think through this a little bit more. And that does take some humility and some wisdom and some practice, but that's what we can work towards. But it's a blessing. It's an amazing thing in the end. However, coming from a psychological standpoint, part of me wonders how much confirmation bias goes into digging deeper into the matter. You know, am I solely searching for evidence that will maintain my belief system just to make me feel better about myself and things, you know, just patch up the leak as fast as possible so I can move on with my life? You know, am I truly looking at this issue from every possible direction and angle? Like, am I searching for evidence just to keep me safe, just to protect me, my little frail ego, from looking into the dark corners? And I hope to say yes, that I am searching deeply, more deeply, and looking at things from a more well-rounded perspective. And obviously, I cannot be fully certain about that. And hopefully, just as time goes on, I can continue to go deeper and develop a greater understanding. So there is that element of it as well that we must stay aware of, that we can just look for more confirmation bias to support what we believed in the beginning and to denounce anything that the other person may have said to us. However, as well, I just want to say, as you grow through this hate that you may feel towards another, right, that you feel initially, that those feelings of frustration or being upset with someone, like hate, you can eventually turn that hopefully into a feeling of gratitude and thankfulness, because they were a stumbling block for you, and what they became was a stepping stone for you in your life. And as Carl Jung said, where you stumble, dig for treasure. They called you out for something, they caused you to stumble, but hopefully it eventually led to you growing, and that becomes a stepping stone. I want to mention as well that not every criticism is going to be worth your time. You can ask yourself, you know, am I convicted through the Holy Spirit about what the other person said? Does what they said have any validity, you know? And Jordan Peterson said, people can weaponize guilt against you. And I think that's very important to know. If you're a conscientious person who truly is trying to aim up and do what is right, people can tear you apart by trying to make you feel guilty about things. That guilt, you know, it could just eat you alive as you try and search for the problem within yourself. You know, is what I did wrong? Did I do anything wrong? You know, those feelings of guilt can just eat at you, that shame that you may experience in trying to search for where the problem may lie within. So discernment here in this situation is a big deal. You know, you have to think about who it is that you are talking to, what they said, and if you are convicted from the Holy Spirit about what they said. You know, because you may do something and someone says, you know, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't agree with that. And they may try to make you feel guilty about it, but you may feel no conviction at all about what you did or said. And hopefully if you ever do feel the conviction, you have the humility to admit that. But if you don't feel the conviction, then you just have to be able to discern. And that comes from the Holy Spirit. And I want to conclude with the other response that we can take to someone pointing out the leak in our ship. And obviously that is hate, hating the other person for what they said. And also just digging our heels deeper because of our own stubbornness. And this is what fools do. And I've been there. And I think this is usually where I initially start with things. But over time, you know, if what they said has that validity, then you work to go deeper into it. And there's a lyric from the song For Whom the Bell Tolls by Metallica that says, "For a hill, men would kill. Why? They do not know. Stiffened wounds test their pride." And this is obviously alluding to men in war who are willing to kill and die over some arbitrary hill. And why are they doing it? They have no idea. You know, that's just what they've been told. That's what the commanders have told them. That's so they're doing what they have been ordered to do. And it says stiffened wounds test their pride. And I think this same analogy applies in the realm of ideas. We will fight and defend the kingdom of our belief system or some arbitrary hill we just claimed because of our stubbornness, our ignorance, our foolishness. Chris Williamson talks about this idea that, you know, say you ask someone about something going on in politics and the person has never truly thought through it. They may just think of something right on the spot. And then that is the hill they forever claim. They will go to their death defending that hill, even though they never even thought about it more deeply. And so that is something you can pay attention to and work to avoid within yourself. If you do not take the time to investigate the problem that someone calls you out for, and if you're convicted about it, if it's a real problem, it will only grow. And if you refuse to listen to what someone else has to say to you, you really don't have a belief system that is alive within you. You're not working with living ideas. You have just given yourself over to some dogma. You have subscribed to something and you are willing to defend it into your death. You know, you found this hill and you're willing to defend it. You're not willing to look in any other direction. That's not a living belief system. That's stagnation. You say this, you put your stake down and said, this is where I'll die. And this is war, where war arises. You're willing to defend that hill or that kingdom. If what you believe cannot compete in the realm of ideas, it will compete in the realm of flesh. That's something I heard from Jordan Peterson the other day, and I think that's just a perfect conclusion to this. Simply put, embrace the times when your beliefs are questioned, even when you may question them, right? When you have to do some inner searching. Maybe someone didn't call you out for something, but you're questioning things. Keep searching for the truth. If you keep seeking, you will find what you are looking for, and it will be uncomfortable. You may feel lost, but that is the only way to find yourself. And as well, I hope you can get to the point where you can thank the other person who showed you the crack in your foundation, the leak in your ship. Thank you guys for listening. I will see you next time. Have a great one. As my grandma says, you have been blessed, so be a blesser. And as always, sharpen the iron.